You want to reset, Noah, and just do your intro? Because I want to hear the intro. I want to feel the full thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So,
what's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
And I'm JJ.
Hey, guys, and I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest, someone we've been wanting to get on the podcast for a long time. We love his podcast and everything he does. It's JoJo Wright. Hey, JoJo, how are you doing?
What's up, guys? I'm pumped that you guys reached out to me, and we were talking before we started recording, even though you guys started recording kind of a sneaky way. You just hit record and just went, which is a good move. But I just like connecting with people who do the same thing and comparing stories and comparing notes. And it's just, this is such a wild, genre that we're in, or it's just our little world, which is not so little anymore, but it's such an interesting obsession, you know. And I'm curious on how you guys got into it, and maybe you want to hear the same stuff from me and whatnot, but it's a wild, super fascinating topic that we'll never really, really know the answer to, which is maybe what drives us. I don't know, but yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
definitely. Thanks for coming on. I know this podcast really is Noah's brainchild. So I don't know, Noah, if you want to talk about your inspiration for Real Hauntings.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I hated horror movies, or I hated the idea of being scared for so long, because I have such vivid dreams. And I was afraid that if I watched a horror movie, if I went to a haunted house, that it would scare me to the point in my dreams that I just wouldn't be able to sleep. Because the times I had nightmares, I would wake up with like tears running down my face. It'd be so
now intense. Is this as a kid, or is this as an adult, or both?
I had night terrors like pretty bad as a kid. As I've gotten older, it's not as bad. But then I met my wife, and she loves everything horror. So as we started dating, every year on Halloween, I'd be like, I'll watch whatever you want to watch. Like one movie. Like one horror movie, you can pick it. So she would pick like the worst, scariest, like plot didn't matter. It was just whatever. Like if it was about clowns killing people at a haunted house, that's what I was going to have to watch. And then we started watching things like It Follows and like different horror movies that have been done really well. And I fell in love with the genre. And then I also am afraid of death. So I think if I can believe ghosts are real, then I won't be as afraid of death, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And so the podcast kind of came along. I had performed with Kat and JJ at our theater where we're casted at and do improv. And I wanted to do something more with them. So I set a creative meeting with JJ. I knew JJ had a very skeptical personality about everything. So I just assumed he felt the same way about ghosts.
He's like a fun guy. You know, like he is nice.
You guys all seem super fun and being comedians, you know. Although I've come across a lot of comedians that are super funny on, you know, I can't say I live in the comedy world a ton, but a few that I've come across super funny on stage, just awful to hang out with in person because they're so depressed, you know, which is, yeah, it's the weird thing, which I'm sure you come across as well, but you guys seem like you're all in a good space, I guess, except JJ thinks you're all full of crap. Is that kind of,
I don't think we're all full of crap. I just, I don't know. I really view the world in like kind of an empirical way that, you know, if I want to claim to know something, I have to be able to like see or hear or read evidence in support of that thing. And so it's been a really difficult journey for me to kind of budge a little bit on my ghost skepticism. I started out this podcast and like being like, absolutely not, there's no way that ghosts exist. And now I guess I would say I'm ghost agnostic, because we've just heard so many stories from people we've interviewed who, you know, like, you know, seem like very genuine people who, you know, are grounded in reality, who have had things that I don't know how, what other explanations you can give to them.
But not only that, are they people that seem trustworthy, you know, or what have you when they come on, but a lot of times they'll have somebody to corroborate their story. And at times we've been like, oh, okay, well, can we call them now? And a lot of times they're like, sure, let's do it. And then they come on, and these people didn't know they were coming on. Sometimes it's like somebody's mother, you know, and then they come on and verbatim, they have the same story. And we're like, okay, well, I don't know how to fight against that, you know, other than just to say, it feels real. You know, I mean, I think kind of the easy way out for me as a skeptic when I really want to say I believe, but I don't want to say I believe is, well, I certainly believe that you think you're telling the truth, you know, which is like such a backhanded way of saying you're right, you know?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I've come across a few people, and I guess, you know, when it comes to be to this subject matter, you rarely, I mean, it's going to happen. I've had people show me photos. If they're not photoshopped or doctored in some way, then, oh my God, that should be on the front page of every newspaper, blog in the country. It usually comes down to, do you believe the witness or not? Because, you know, like that you're going to play me a clip later, and I heard the clip. It's, do I believe you or not? It's kind of what it comes down to, because... And some people, I can tell you some stories. I guess we'll go through it. I've talked to some people that I believe and trust 1,000%. And the story they tell me is so fascinating that I am just sold. I'm on a 10. I know you guys asked the ghost meter, do you believe a meter thing?
Yes.
And I'm on a 10. Not that I can back it up with any hard, you know, evidence. I've had a couple of things that, you know, piqued my interest, you know, and a couple of things. What is that? Right. But I don't have that moment where I saw something clearly. But the stories I've been told by people that I really believe, you know, and genuine, like I said, genuine people that, you know, corroborated the story. There's multiple people in it. It's hard for me not to believe at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you've had some really insane stories on your podcast, Paranormalish, from, you know, everyday people, and also from like some pretty A-list celebrities as well.
Right.
Do you find like, with your celebrity stories, I'll just say sometimes we get guests who are like, this is a really good friend of ours in the acting world, very talented actor, great storyteller. And then you like hear their ghost story and you're like, oh, that was it. Do you ever like get that with celebrity stories? Yeah. You don't have to name any names, but you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you the ones that the one that really grabs me, AJR is the one. I just put up, as we tape this, I just posted one. Paranormalish is my podcast. And I just put up an episode with the band AJR. Do you guys know AJR?
Mm-hmm.
Three guys from New York. But they went to a place called The Rave in Milwaukee, which is a fairly well-known venue in that area. And it's got a bit of a history to it as far as being haunted. And you guys should do some research on this place. It's crazy. But it's kind of famous for, and what people say is, there's the hotel across the street called the Ambassador. And I believe Jeffrey Dahmer would take his victims from the Rave, and maybe it was called the Eagle Club at one time. And he would take them across to the hotel. And then he would take, you know, that story is disturbing and wild and all this stuff. But the Rave itself has become somewhat famous for being a haunted club. So AJR was telling me this story, and they told me a brief clip of it once, because I do a lot of interviews on a radio station called Kiss FM in Los Angeles, and I also host the iHeartRadio Countdown, which is a national countdown which goes to all the pop stations in the iHeart family, among other stations around a few international, but mainly in the States. And they told me this story real quick. Like, they just, you know, because I always say, hey, do you have a paranormal encounter? Some do, some don't. But when you get some that are really like over the top, like, oh my God, I made a point to, when AJR came back around, I wanted to get them in just for the podcast to tell this story. So they came back in, did the countdown, and I said, see if we can book another 20, 15, whatever minutes with them just for this. Right. So here's the story. And there's two parts to it, but the one part that really grabs me is they're going into the Rave, and they walk into their dressing room. It's an older club. And there's one room, one door into this dressing room. So a couple of the guys walk in, they look in, oh, there it is, pretty basic, you know, kind of a 70s vibe, I think is what they said. You know, cool, all right. Shut the door, they hung out in the hallway for a few seconds, just chit-chatting, who knows what. They walk back in 30, 40 seconds later, and the furniture is all stacked up. I mean, it's just, I mean, it, I'm like, did it fall? He goes, no, furniture can't fall up. It's just stacked up. And the way they thought, you guys are crazy. They thought the, you know, the venue, because they, you know, people talk about it being haunted. Mm-hmm. So somebody must have snuck in there super quick, but snuck in there and stacked this stuff up. But they would have had to, you know, done the Mission Impossible thing through the roof, you know, that. Mm-hmm. And they approached a few people from the venue, said, okay, guys, you're jacking with us here. What's going on? He goes, dude, that stuff happens here all the time. And they showed him some pictures of some previous people and some other stories and whatnot. So if you believe them, and I don't know why they seemed like they were telling the truth. They walk in, everything's fine, close the door, walk back in 30 seconds later, furniture stacked up. What the heck did that? That's crazy.
Right. So
was that the same episode where it may have been them or somebody else talked about, oh gosh, was it Three Doors Down or somebody making up a fake story about eating the hair in the front row?
Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That is in that same episode. See, Bebe Rexha also had an encounter.
That's right.
At the Ambassador Hotel, and she went to the rave as well. And the Chainsmokers have been there as well. But buddy of mine said, do I believe Bebe Rexha and the Chainsmokers? I believe BB's story, but the Chainsmokers, which I like those guys, they're funny. But I know they'll lie to me because they just like to jack with me. But they told me this story once because I asked about, give me some crazy fan encounter, because sometimes fans get, this has nothing to do with paranormal. Sometimes right. fans get wild. And he told me this story, and I've heard some wild ones, even wilder than this, even though this one's a fake one. But he said that, yeah, I was at this, we did this show, and I forget where, and this fan came in the front row, and she was just staring at me. And she took out some clippers, and she started shaving her hair, and I couldn't even focus on the performance because she was shaving. Who does this? And then she ate her hair, and he got really elaborate with the story. And then all of a sudden she's gone and she'd never, talked to him again. And then they left. And I was telling a few other people, because I'll bring it up to the next artist. Hey, yeah, you guys have any crazy fan stories? Guess what Chainsmokers told me? A few, like a month or two or whatever later, I bumped into the band 5 Seconds of Summer. And I said, God, my God, you should have heard what these guys told me. He goes, who told you that? And he goes, the Chainsmokers. That's a lie, JoJo. They lie all the time. They came back in. I'm like, was that a lie? He goes, yeah, that was a lie. I'm like, you jackass.
Going around telling this lie to everyone.
I was. I told it to everybody. Lie. It was a great story. I kind of wish they didn't tell me, but so that's
like direct inside scoop of the Chainsmokers. I never thought I'd ever have, or yeah. just like of the artists.
I mean, they're really fun guys. I really, really like them. Yeah. But yeah, they got me on that one. 5 Seconds of Summer, they told me some, they kept telling me this one story, and I know this can't be true either, but he said that they got invited to a Taylor Swift party, but three of the four of them, like one of them didn't get invited. Uh-oh. So I felt so bad. I'm like, what the heck? That's not true. I don't know. I don't know the whole story behind it. They still haven't clarified that, but I think Five Sauce lied to me on that, but they're big prankster jokester guys, and they're real fun dudes as well. So,
well, JoJo, I was hoping you could walk us through an episode that I really enjoy on Paranormalish. That one time they stayed in a haunted Airbnb. I had to listen to that one twice because there was so much packed into that episode. What was it like doing that interview? And can you kind of give us a general overview of that one?
Yeah, that interview, and I'll try to remember as much of the specifics of it as I can, but that interview, sometimes when you have these, podcasts, you get a chance to prep for them and you know what to ask and whatnot. That one was just a young artist came into the studio named Alana Springsteen. I don't think she's related to Bruce. I don't think, I forget. But she came in with her manager, and they were just talking to our program director. And so I walked in the meeting. Hey, what's up, guys? We start chatting, and then the paranormal topic comes up. And the artist, she didn't have any encounter, but she said, you got to hear her story. So I start talking to the manager. And she tells me this wild story. And I said, okay, march to the studio right now. Let's go. She told me the story about how she went to go stay in this this Airbnb. And she gets over there and these crazy things start happening. And she ends up, I'm kind of forgetting the nuts and bolts of the podcast.
Yeah, they started at like one location trying to get a hotel room. And like, it was like this ghost kept following them from location to location, and they couldn't, like the power went out in one hotel.
And the one lady she starts praying for him in the lobby, the lady that worked at the hotel. And she, it was, I don't want to sound like a complete idiot forgetting my own podcast. It's been a while.
And I should have told you ahead of time.
Dude, ask me anything. Check that one out. It's wild how this thing followed them from point A to point B the door locked on her at one point, so she couldn't get out.
A little girl's sunglasses, like in the covers of her bed. Like, it was just like one creepy, unexplainable thing after another. Yeah,
it was a bizarre moment for sure. It'll make you. And I said, is that written on the Airbnb on the details about it? Like, by the way, it's haunted. It's cheap, but it's haunted. Like, I don't think that was brought up at all before she stayed there.
When it made her so mad that she left a review saying, don't stay here, it's haunted, which that makes me so much more of a believer. If you go to that.
Oh my goodness. We fully tried it once, but Noah called. What hotel was it that you called to be like,
oh gosh,
hey, do you think it's haunted? Like, just
that one in San Diego.
It was one in San Diego with Kate Morgan.
Hotel Del Coronado, right?
Yes. Like, us, we had just started on this podcast, and us being like two episodes in, Noah's like, let's call him. This lady picks up, and he's like, I know you work there, but like, is it really haunted? Or, and can we use this on our podcast? And she was like, no.
It like, was such a fun little mini interview. Like, you know, I finally got her to warm up a little bit and give us a little detail, but I knew probably in the end she wasn't going to give this to us. So we just had to, you know, just talk about our conversation with her.
But you hate that you get something great and you can't use it. I've had that a couple of times.
God. On a scale of 0 to 10.
Well, you know, we did an episode for Thanksgiving where we talked about different famous haunted places, and it seems like that you can like go and stay at as like a little B&B. It seems like a lot of places are making bank on this. I'm surprised that one Airbnb doesn't like try to advertise that,
you know. I mean, a lot of places, that is, I mean, the for example, in LA or Long Beach, the Queen Mary, they make a living on it that the place is haunted. And we just did an investigation. I it wasn't me, but I joined another team, and they did this investigation at the Queen Mary about 2 weeks ago. All of us had to get these, you know, the COVID test and whatnot. And just to walk around on that ship when, and I've been there quite a few times, but to walk around on that ship when it's not, there's no passengers. It was empty except for the team they put on there. It was super fascinating to walk through. And it's like walking on the Titanic, because it was built, it's not much, I mean, the Titanic would have been a little older, you know, but not much. And you're stepping back in time, and you're walking through this ship. And the famous room B340, which they took off the market for a while, but they'll let you, once things get back to normal, they've now put it back on the market so you can rent the room. They let me stay in there once before when they had taken it off the market, but it was just bare bones. Nothing was in there. So, but the pool room where, you know, you see the little girl ghost, and you have the Winston Churchill room, which I just went in the other day. And then there's the front cargo hold, which is where they had, you know, during World War II, they would, you know, just a transport area, cargo hold, where they put just stuff in there. And then they used it for prisoner transports to and from, you know, in during the war. And so this deep dungeon looking thing, they let me go down in there, you know, once, and it's just nothing happened to me in there. But it was just fascinating to be in there. And you can't move when you get to the bottom. You have to kind of shimmy around this crazy little ledge because the ladder is around the corner, and they had to put a little harness on me just for, you know, just for safety, because they didn't want me to, I guess, sue them or whatever. But I had to sign a bunch of waivers. And when you get down to the bottom, you can't really run because there's holes in the floor, and you're on the actual metal. I think it's the one part of the ship where if you drill the hole, you'd hit water. Everywhere else, you'd hit another room. But this is, you're in the water. Yeah. And so if you get scared, you can't run or you'll die basically, because you'll hit something. But they shut the door on me, and it's about a 30, you know, when you open the door, it's about a 30 foot drop to the ground, and it's just dark and it's just cold, and it's what a haunted cargo ship room should look. It's crazy looking. And you guys need to visit the Queen Mary. You know, I've been to the, like you said, the Hotel Del Coronado. My wife did a haunted weekend for me. This is how you know we're in love. She took me to the Hotel Del Coronado and the Whaley House in one weekend, which is another place in California that, or in LA, that's really cool. We've done, of course, the Winchester Mystery House, you know, and one of these days I want to do the Alcatraz, and there's so many places, and Atlanta's got to be full of them. I'm sure it's just, you know, in Savannah and up and down.
Savannah, especially. Well, yeah, Jojo, I'm curious, because, you know, we do know how much you love the paranormal, and I think it very much comes across in your podcast. What was it that brought you into that world, and like what is it that drives you to continue to explore and investigate the paranormal?
Well, I'm going to ask you guys the same. Well, I kind of know about you, Noah. I'm curious about you too, Kat and JJ. But for me, this is what I say, and this might or might not be true. I don't know. But I just recall as a kid, my mom would take us on, me and my sister, on picnics, and we'd go get, I recall, Subway or KFC. That's the two pop in my head. And she would take us to a graveyard, and we'd sit and eat, you know, our food. And we weren't visiting like an aunt or uncle that had passed, nothing like that. And we didn't sit, you know, she didn't bring us to in the graveyard. There was a little courtyard outside of it. But of course, you little kid, you start running through the graveyard, and your mind starts going just nuts. And did you see something? Did you not? Or is somebody watching me? And you read all the stories about how this person passed, and you just kind of, or you know, and you're just curious. And it just went from there. And I can't recall ever seeing anything, you know. I'm sure my my little kid brain, you know, was in overdrive at that point. But I think that's kind of where it started. And then at that, it didn't take much, because this subject matter, it's just so fascinating. I don't see how anyone could not be interested, to be quite honest. It's just so mesmerizing. Whether you believe it or not, I don't know, but it's just,
yeah,
it's just so, I mean, and we'll never really know, which is the wild thing. We'll never really, really know. I mean, you know, if you read the Bible and that's what your thing is, you get a glimpse, but you don't know everything that goes on the other side. And I think that's kind of where we are, is what the heck, what is happening?
Yeah. It's like,
I think it's where it started.
If you made religion fun, you get the paranormal, you know, yeah. It's like the whole other side of it.
So have you still never seen or heard anything yourself?
I was at a place called the Fox Theater in Fullerton, and we were in. It's an interesting place. I've been there a couple times, but the part picture, you know, in the theater, in the main theater, there's three sections for seats. So two rows where you can walk up and down, and then the three sections for seats, and then there's the stage, and no windows in there. Well, I don't think so, because you don't want light coming in as you're watching the show. And I'm sitting on, you know, it's pretty dark, but I could see a little bit, and this almost like a black mass of sorts just down one of the aisles, and I was on the other aisle, and it was, you know, I was doing one of my live radio shows for this haunted, you know, broadcast, and it wasn't when I was on the air, it was just in a commercial break, and this black mass just poof. And I thought, am I seeing things? You know, it wasn't clear enough to for me to say, yep, that's got it. It's my moment, my aha moment. But it was enough to make me go, all right, that, you know, I start looking for shadows. Like, could that be a shadow from a car, from a headlight? And, you know, I just, there's no, you know, windows in the room, because if you're watching a play, you don't want to see the car lights, you know, shining on the actors. That's one thing. We were at a place called the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula once, and I still think somebody might have been pranking me on this one, because we're doing this broadcast and we hear these screams in our headphones. But nope, when someone pranks you, there's usually a payoff, like, hey, gotcha, you jackass, you know.
Yeah.
Like the chain smokers, you know, granted, the chain smokers, I can see what it took them a while to get back to me, because I don't see them every day, but these are people I work with all the time. And, you know, there would be a payoff somewhere. And they didn't hear it on the first floor, but we heard it on the second floor. But it was such a small hotel, and the rooms were, I mean, it wasn't like this big grand where everything's so far, but it's a smaller place. I mean, I still think I was pranked, sort of, but I haven't had anybody give me the gotcha yet. So that's another thing.
Yeah, it takes like a true sociopath to prank someone and then not like, like, oh, that was me.
Yeah, you got to get some, you know, if you don't do that at some point, what's the use of pranking somebody? You don't get to enjoy it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, this is how crazy I am. I have a memory of swiping my hand through a ghost as a kid. But I don't believe, believe it happened. And it happened in a room with like three or four other people. I was like 12. This is, you can hear this story also on our first episode, but I was like probably 12 or 13 and playing hide and go seek with my friend and his sister and one of her friends. And my friend grew up in a mansion in a Mississippi Delta town. The house took up an entire block, or it's still there. It still does. But it had a elevator in the home. The elevator would just turn on in the middle of the night for no reason, go up to the top, open, go back down. So that was kind of weird, but whatever. It could be, you know, electrical issues, who knows. We're playing hide and go seek, and it's the kind of hide and go seek where you have to stay in your hiding spot. You can't get up and run around. The person has to come and find you. They get you, whatever.
I'm having visions of The Conjuring right now.
I know, right? And so the way we would play it is we would shut the door to the room, turn off all the lights. The person who is it, you know, gives everybody 10 seconds to hide, then you go look for them. So we're playing, and I turn around, and I see one of them running across the room. And I out loud, I went, ha, I got you. And I like swiped my hand to be a jerk, like really hard, because you're not supposed to run, thinking that it was my friend, Bill. And my hand went through him. And I telling this story, I get, even now I get a little bit of chills. Like, I just remember my hand going through him and just stopping like dead in my tracks. And whatever it was turned and looked at me, and it had like red, like reflective eyes. At least that's how I remember it. And everybody in the room screamed, and the thing like vanished out of the room. We turned on the lights and we all ran to their playroom. We turned on all the lights in the playroom and we all just sat there and nobody said anything for like 30 minutes.
No kidding.
So fast forward, like, I don't know, gosh, what, 20 years. Every year or two, I see that friend. We usually go to a concert or something. We'll catch up. And we still, like, it's one of the first things we talk about when we see each other. Hey, you remember that? You remember seeing that ghost? And he's like, oh, yeah, I talk about it all the time. I was like, yeah, I have a podcast now where all we do is talk about ghosts.
I'm that guy with that podcast.
And JoJo, it's weird because, like, I had that experience. And I guess this is why I call myself a skeptic, because I'm also a storyteller. I mean, as part of my craft as a comedian and a writer. And it's like, I don't know if it's because I've told that story so many times that I'm having, you know, I'm seeing that in my mind's eye, like play out over and over, or if it's my actual memory of the event. Now, the fact that somebody else saw it and, you know, can corroborate the story makes me feel more certain that it happened. But yeah, it was like seeing a Jawa run across the room. It was like the weirdest, creepiest experience.
So did it, when you saw it, did it look like, I mean, what you immediately thought it was one of your friends. So it looked like a person, not misty, not translucent, all that stuff.
Yeah, it just as if like you turned off all the lights in the room, and you know how like your eyes adjust, and even if it's pitch black dark, you can still see somebody. You just, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to make out their identifying features, but you're like, I know that's a person. And that was the energy it gave off to me. Like I just assumed it was my friend Bill being a jerk. Like he couldn't find somewhere to hide, running across the room, like maybe trying to even scare me. And then my hand went right through him and I was just like, no, that's not supposed to happen.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so like hard for me to picture. I've
just
like,
wild?
It's so crazy because we've never had an experience like that. I've had like coincidental stuff happen and, that kind of thing, but I've never
seen. You've had orb stuff happen.
One time.
That's just an issue with your camera.
Not the picture one. I've had one in person too. JJ never listens to me. Just kidding.
That is mind bending to hear you say that. That, I mean, how do you not, I mean, do you really have to convince yourself that you didn't see that? How do you not, that is such an epic, I mean.
Well, and it makes me feel like a hypocrite almost because on our podcast, obviously we've had a ton of people on that tell their ghost stories. And I've heard other people say the same thing. They'll tell their whole story. They're very convincing. And then at the end they tag it with, well, I don't know if it happened or not.
Yeah, well, I don't believe it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I immediately go, well, do you not know? Or is it the fear of knowing that keeps you from saying that it was real? Where it's probably what I'm doing, right? Because it's like, if, you know, it changes the game. At least it would for me, as like, as my therapist says, I'm very creative, but I'm very grounded. And I think knowing that there are paranormal, supernatural things that can pop up out of the ground and run across a child's room kind of flips the script on what can be grounded, what can be concrete, if that exists, you know?
So in my head, I like, this is a big part of the world that we just aren't really raised to explore. Like we're not really encouraged to explore it. We're not really like given scientific background on any of it in school. I was raised in a Methodist household, and at church even, like, you know, we'll talk about the books of the Bible where they talk about mediums, but not often. It's never like on the pulpit when they're talking about it. They don't really talk about specifics about afterlife, like heaven, like what happens when you get there, but they'll scare you about hell. You know what I mean?
So right.
Now that we're adults, it's kind of like, there's all these stories everywhere about these things, but like, we're too hesitant to be like, yeah, that's definitely real. It's more just kind of, are we allowed to like believe this stuff? Is this, could this really be something? And then.
Well, it's worked out for JoJo.
Yeah. We're trying.
That's why I like it so much. Cause it's just like this big unknown.
These stories you're telling me, two podcasts I've had, well, two come to mind. One, there was I did a podcast called Don't Go in the Basement with this guy. He was playing hide and seek. And it was just him and his babysitter in the house. And they never really went downstairs. They used it for storage, but he goes, you know, he's playing hide and seek and he thinks he's found, you know, and she's hiding. And he thinks he's found her because there's a little bathroom downstairs with a little swinging door, almost like a saloon door, you know? And he sees her in there. And he goes to give the gotcha. Hey, I found you. And right before he goes to, you know, do that, the babysitter calls from upstairs and says, hey, let's do dinner. And he realizes that second that that's not the babysitter. Ah! And he just froze. And then, of course, you know, he's off running. And that's one story. Another story, when you said, you know, bringing up the church, this guy had what he thinks is an angel sighting. And I found this really fascinating. It is, it's a singer. You know who Ryan Tedder is from the band One Republic? Are you familiar with that band?
Yeah.
It is that has nothing to do with the story, but it's him if you're curious. And, he was 7, 8, or 9, you know, whatever, in that little, I forget what he said. And he woke up in the morning and he was awake. You know, he was already awake. He brought up the fact that this cat that they had just briefly, you know, they owned the cat for like a week. I don't know what the backstory on that is, but cat woke him up. And he sees in the other room this bright, shining being. And he thought, oh my God, am I seeing this? And him being a very, you know, he's a very got to see it to believe it kind of a guy, and was like that as a kid to a degree. Is this really happening? Covers over his head, pulls him back down. It's still there. This entire thing happened, I think, over like a 10 or 15 minute. It wasn't like a flash. It was there for a while. I hope I'm saying some of this right. If I'm off on some of the numbers, then I'm a bad person. But
yes, Brian, if you're listening, yeah, let us know.
I mean, let me know. Crazy. But he sees this being, and he looks at it, and it's light shining up, just a giant being. Then his sister in the other room wakes up, starts making some noise. So this being of light turns and looks as if I heard that, looking over at the sister's, you know, room. Then it turned back to where, I guess, looking towards Ryan or whatnot. And then this light shoots up through the roof, gone. So he flipped out, ran to his mom's room, screaming, I just saw this. His mom handed him a piece of paper and a little pen or whatnot. Write it down. In your words, write it down. Why should I write it down? Because when you get older, I don't want you to, you know, talk yourself out of what you saw. Write it down. And she still has, yeah, she still has that, you know, in storage somewhere. And I want to bring him back for the pot just to do that, like I did with AJR, to go in. And I want to get his mom on if possible to talk about, you know, what, and maybe you've showed me the note or something like that. But that's a couple of stories that come to mind based on what you guys are saying. It all boils down to, do you believe the witness? And I believe him.
Yeah. Well, Jojo, I want to show you the great contrast between Kat and I and JJ. So JJ, can you share your story with Jojo about what you and your brother did when you went inside that cave, the haunted?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, this definitely shows our skepticism, and maybe it's a family thing then. But we were visiting a cousin who used to live in London, and they took us to these really cool underground caves that, like, I guess used to be like where like the Druids would like go and like have certain rituals. And then during World War II, they like sent civilians down there as like a bomb shelter during the air raids. But there's one part of the caves, it's like a little pool of water. And the tour guide was like, now this is like the haunted pool of water. There's like people say that they've seen like this gray lady here. And if anyone disturbs the water, like this ghost will follow you and haunt you for the rest of my life. And my brother and I just looked at each other, and without saying anything, we both just splashed the water. And nothing bad has come of it. So I don't know. I don't believe that specific pool of water is haunted. Not to discount anyone else's haunted stories, because definitely there's a lot of really weird, convincing stories. Like, I mean, that one you just told with the beam of light person, how do you explain that?
It's crazy. I mean, if you believe him or not, but the God, so nothing happened. The haunted pool of water was just water.
Big letdown. Nothing happened.
Unless that ghost has been playing the long con and waited for you to get a podcast and that's who's in your room right now.
Yeah.
this ghost might have the kind of like similar framework of pranks with the chain smokers. Just Wait. Really waiting for that long payoff.
There's all, chain smokers are bad people, apparently. They are doing me like that.
When you're interviewing anyone, JoJo, do you ever feel like, do you ever feel yourself reacting, like getting scared? Like, what scares you still? Does anything scare you?
You know what? Well, yeah, far, I don't get nervous a whole lot when doing interviews anymore, which is, but I do have, I want things to go good. I want, you know, when I have an interview coming up, I do a lot of prep, make sure I'm prepared for it, you know, and then I rarely use the prep if it goes really good. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know if it's like, I don't, if you're asking if I get nervous before, or, an interview, well, not so much.
From their stories, like paranormal wise, does anything like that still scare you?
I think if I were in the, you know, if we were on location, because I've done a lot of investigations. I say a lot, you know, when I'm Kiss FM as a radio station, it's not designed to be a haunted, you know, let's do it's the ghost station. It's just, you know, we pop music and interviews and contests and all that stuff, you know. Yeah. But right around Halloween, I've always taken it and turned it into my little playground because it makes sense for Kiss around Halloween. Which, not that I, you know, I'd love to do investigations year round, which I plan to do with this podcast now, but, as far as on the air, Halloween it is. And, I've done these investigations and I'm never as scared as you think I would be, because when these investigations are happening, if you're listening to it, when I'm on the radio, you hear the music and the score, cause I have the music, the picture a horror movie score playing. I want to set the scene. But as I'm there, for the most part, I've got headphones on and I've got the music playing in my ear. So in between breaks, I've got, you know, Jennifer Lopez in my ear and I got a producer going, hey, we got 14 seconds left. Like, okay, cool. So that takes away some of the fear of it. But when you do these investigations without that, you know, attached to it, when you're not on the radio or whatever, you're just there and it's silent and it's dark, then that makes your heart kind of pump a little bit, you know, or a lot, especially when when the history adds up to, you know, maybe you see something and it just really clicks. Yeah, I love it. I really, and then, yeah, that kind of stuff does scare me. Now, when they tell me the stories, not so much. I find them fascinating, but I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if we're there and where it happened and, you know, well, silence and darkness. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up what scares you and your interviews, because I think this is a good point for us to segue into what's kind of been scaring us, the fact that a ghost keeps bleeding into our podcast. So if it's okay with you, JoJo, I'd like to play you a clip where you can kind of hear that noise that keeps coming in through our recordings.
Okay, this is you sent me these clips earlier. This is, okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Just to set it up, there's three episodes that this comes from. The first time we heard it was when we had Amanda on. Her name's Amanda Ray. She's a medium. She's 19 from TikTok. She has a big following on TikTok where she just randomly, like, her page was not dedicated to supernatural stuff. She randomly just told a story from her childhood about exorcisms in her home and seeing ghosts everywhere. So of course we were like, let's get her on the podcast.
She literally just sees dead people the same amount that she sees alive people.
Yeah.
She
hold
the door open for dead people and be like, why are people staring at me? Oh, I just held the door for literally nobody.
Yeah. She'll think she sees a real, you know, anyway. So
that's interesting. I've never heard of anyone. That's wild. Okay.
And so I call people like that haunted. That's kind of because we've had several of them on the podcast now. We have a friend who we do comedy with, Devin. That's one of our most popular episodes, Devin's Demons. He's the same way. He sees ghosts everywhere. He will get into the shower and see a girl walk into the bathroom and think it's his wife, and it ends up being a ghost that's just staring at him taking a shower, and then they'll kind of evaporate out. But anyway, so Amanda came on, and Kat is really good about asking when we have mediums or people that see stuff, you know, trying to get infuse that into our podcast in some way. So at the end, Kat was like, well, hey, you see the paranormal, you see ghosts, have you seen anything in any of our homes during the podcast? And Amanda's like, oh yeah, there's been an old lady behind you and JJ the whole time we've been recording.
Like wearing pajamas, smoking a cigarette, like loving JJ. She was like, she's going over to him now, touching his shoulder.
Well, maybe look at him. I mean, who wouldn't? So.
Thank you.
You see him with a beard.
Okay.
So that happens. We all kind of laugh and are interested, right? We don't hear any noise or anything. And then I go back and I'm editing, and I hear this whisper, and it, you know, I've edited like, I don't know, 70 of these things now. So the editing part is kind of mundane now, but it freaked me out so much that I threw my headphones off of my head.
No kidding.
I just threw them off because it just didn't feel human. I don't know. Like it, the hair on my body, and I have a lot of hair, stood up like everywhere. Like I just threw the headphones off. I couldn't, it freaked me out. Immediately send it to Kat and JJ, in our, you know, messaging group. And of course, immediately JJ's like, bah, somebody just whispered in the mic, whatever. And Kat's like, oh, that's interesting.
But I downloaded it and like slowed it down. And they, I mean, there was something there.
Just to ask, nobody put this audio in. You did not put this in. It's not another track.
We, JJ,
I don't know how.
JJ and I do not touch the editing. Noah does all of it.
And Noah, you didn't, nothing, right?
I didn't. No, as much as I would have loved to have created this narrative that keeps, as much as I enjoy storytelling, no, I didn't put it in. And it's really bizarre because I heard this one in editing. The other two, I did not hear. And the other two were brought to us by fans who, after we had mentioned this one, they started emailing us and Instagramming us like, oh my God, it happened again. And to the point where they would cut the audio themselves and email us the audio.
Okay. And then we heard something live once, and then you can hear it. Anyways, it is a little weird. We're a little perturbed by it.
Okay, so that's the first instance, and it's a super clip. So I'm just going to go through the other two pretty quick. So the next one, we had JJ's brother on, Rob, who, if you enjoy
Rob with two B's, right?
Hey, okay, just so checking. Happy, you know.
Look at JoJo getting his real haunting street cred.
That's so funny.
That's right.
If you enjoy JJ, Rob is like JJ on steroids. Like, you really get a good idea of where JJ gets his skepticism. So that was fun to bring his brother on.
I mean, Rob is JJ with the asshole volume turned up to.
So Rob is, you know, kind of crapping on the idea that we have this ghost and Kat and JJ's home and yada yada. And then, of course, there's that ghost noise again as they're talking about it. And then the third time, we had a young lady on named Erin, and she told this story about a trench coat ghost and this haunted home she lives in. And I can't remember if we brought up the episode with Rob or if she brought it up. And we were kind of talking about that too. And then Kat and JJ just go, we just heard a ghost in our, we heard a noise in the apartment.
We didn't say ghost at first. Okay. She was telling a story, and JJ and I, like, at the same time, were like, we heard some sort of like whoosh, like right in between us, and we thought Noah was replaying the clip or maybe she had said something. So anyways,
and so I went back, you know, I couldn't wait to get on editing that one to see if I could find whatever they were talking about, and there was clear. I mean, that one is clear as day. You can hear a very, and it's, they're all very similar. That's the freaky thing to me. And the fact that Kat and JJ heard it out loud is what kind of pushes it over the edge for me, that it's just not like a goof in the electronics or whatever. But anyway, enough talk. I'm going to go ahead and play it now.
And she was here the whole time, and you're just now telling us this.
Yeah.
It was still like such a
experience. Like that's interesting.
I have a friend who's a witch, and I was like, listen, so there's this thing in my mantle.
I'm not usually this on edge during episodes, and when I am, it's like, it really gets me. I just feel like we
did hear a very creepy whisper.
Oh, I want to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, I have not heard them pieced together like that. I am like shook right now. They sounded the same too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see it's bizarre, and we are all skeptics. So, I mean, I don't know. It's weird. And the thing I get the most joy out of that is I just will never forget the look on JJ's face when they heard that noise inside of their home. Like, that was the most rewarding thing, to finally see JJ get some kind of supernatural experience.
A year later, we did it.
We did it on the podcast.
You heard that. Okay. First of all, has anything happened in your house when you're not taping? Anything unusual around the house?
We have not noticed anything, but we live with a roommate who, you know, when we first moved in here was like, I'm pretty sure my room's haunted. I keep hearing this voice. And we're just like, okay. Like, we live in a townhouse that's only like 10 years old or something. We're like, this isn't, there's no way. And then after this happened, I talked to him and I was like, so what did this voice sound like? He's like, it just kind of sounds like this weird, like kind of faint whisper. I was like, oh, shit, that is.
Yeah. So he says he'll see like things out of the corner of his eyes or hear whispering or something outside his door. And he lives downstairs, which is kind of like under the ground level. So it's like a basement. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really heard anything. I have a really bad sense of smell, but every now and then I'll smell like flowers or something where there's not flowers or some, or, you know, things like that. But haven't really. Our cats are crazy and are always looking everywhere. And if apparently this lady lives in our room with us, I've tried to notice my cat more, being like, you know, wherever he is.
How fascinating. I mean, JJ, okay, you were on the believometer, like you guys always say, zero means it's a bunch of crap. 10, you're all in. Where you started off at a zero, I guess.
Yeah, I would say like a one probably. And then at this time, you know, I've been kind of sitting on a 5 for a long time. Like, you know, I'm still not, I still don't think I'll ever really be convinced unless I have like a really, really direct experience. But like that night that happened where, you know, we could just hear it live. I think for that one night, maybe I was an 8. So, you know, wow.
I might. So, Joe, he was riding high and believing in ghosts until we had his brother Rob on, and he just smacked him back down to reality.
The next episode, JJ was like, "Okay, but I'm a 1.
Back to a 2. Yeah, whatever. Dang, Rob with 2 B's is brutal. That's not cool. Yeah. So, okay. So, and this is, I mean, man, any history to your house or just, I mean, I guess it is what it is.
That's what we know of. We're good friends with the landlord. And I mean, she was the first person to live in the house when it was built, right? Was there anyone before?
I'm not sure.
I don't know about that. But right. The house is not like the house complex is not that old. So
we should ask our neighbors if they ever have things going on.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, here's a couple of stories I've heard, and maybe, I mean, granted, this is not going to change your believe-a-meter, JJ, but it, you know, if you heard the stories from them, you could judge on if you believe them or not, you know, but there's a guy, there's an episode I did, I think I called it the mystery visitor. I should have called it the hospice ghost, to be quite honest with you, but I called it the mystery visitor. And it's a guy, it's his mom's story. But this guy, he didn't want to use his name, but he's an executive with a company, and I used to endorse products for his company. He's still, you know, this company's still doing great. We just don't do the endorse. I still talk to him all the time. A little older than I am. Really nice guy. Super, you know, he's very proper. He's conservative. He's a businessman. Mm-hmm. So he told me his mom. His mom has, she was a hospice, the head nurse at a hospice for years. And that sets it right there. You know, this is about to get serious.
Oh, yeah.
She was the head nurse at this hospice. And, you know, and another lady involved in this story was one of the other nurses, one of the assistant nurses. And, you know, they're doing their normal stuff. A lady comes to visit her husband, who is, you know, he's got limited time left. Anybody who's there has limited time left, but they think he's approaching, you know, towards the end. She comes to visit her husband, and she's in the room for a while. They eventually go in and check on him. And how are you guys doing? So-and-so. Then they walk out. And the head nurse, his mom, says to the other nurse, "Did you see that?" Let me back up a little bit. The lady comes out after they check on her, and they ask her, "Who was the other guy?" There was a guy praying at the end of the bed. And they thought initially when they were in the room that it was an uncle or a friend or, you know, some family member, but they didn't say anything right there. They had that little look like, "Did you see that?" The lady finally comes out and they ask her, "Who was the guy? Who's the other guy? Is he in there?" She had no idea. She didn't see this person. There was a man praying at the end of the bed in the hospice.
Well, I've heard Super a story.
Creepy. It's crazy.
I've heard a story like that before in a hospice, like especially right near death. There were these, that this woman was about to pass away, I think like about to take her last breath. And her daughter was in there like singing songs of maybe hymns or prayerful songs. And I think two of the friends were like out in the waiting room praying about it. And, or waiting for her, or nowhere near the room, couldn't hear her or anything. And when they came to the daughter, they were like, hey, we got a vision that you were like in the room with an angel and you were singing. And she was like, nobody knew I was singing, or something like that. But the same sort of deal, just like seeing someone else in the room with that person and right before they die. I think that's, it's very common. Wild.
They, when you, when in a hospice, I believe they give you my wife was telling me these things when her dad, you know, was going through that stuff. They give you a list of things to look out for. And one is they say they claim to see things. But when people that are still living see them too,
yeah,
that's when it hits that real next level. There was a DJ named Alesso. Do you know, I don't know if you know electronic dance music at all, but Alesso, he told me this story, and I need to get him back on because this story, I don't know. He had a friend as a kid that he would wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be talking to something. He would be, you know, talking, and it was just almost like a sleepwalk but he wasn't walking. But like a sleepwalking type thing, or even a version of sleep paralysis maybe, which is an interesting subject.
We love sleep paralysis.
Oh, it's so fascinating. I still haven't made my mind up on what exactly it is, but his friend would see these things and talk to him, and eventually he'd go back to bed. One night he wakes up and he sees his friend talking to something, but Alesso himself looks around and he sees these little shorter shadowy figures kind of scampering around the room. Freaks him out. So he sees what his friend is talking to, wakes his friend up. Oh my God. They just kind of put it behind them. Never, you know, didn't want to talk about it anymore. Years later, Alesso and that same friend, they're adults now. They are staying in a hotel room, and Alesso's brother is with them. So Alesso's brother, Alesso, one bed, to my understanding, and his friend in the other bed. Alesso stays asleep. He doesn't see this one, but apparently his friend is up talking, doing the crazy sleep talk thing again. And he's looking towards like the desk in the hotel, because every hotel seems to have a desk, you know. He's looking over at the desk, and Alesso's brother wakes up and he sees his friend doing this sleep talk thing. He looks over at the desk and he sees something sitting there. And so he flips out, he grabs a towel or a shirt, throws it at the person in the chair. Everybody wakes up. Oh my God, what the heck happened? What is that?
That is, I mean, super nuts. Yeah.
Isn't it nuts? I mean, yeah. I've had so many, I mean, I can give you some more that I think are just the ones that have riveted me.
Well, JoJo, before we jump forward, I wanted to stay on the hospice train for a second. Well, I don't want to actually stay on the hospice train, but one of our most popular episodes is one of our friends came on our podcast and he told us his mom had a crazy ghost story. And it's from the episode Mabel Hospice Whirlpool. So why is Mabel in the hospice whirlpool? That's the name of the episode. So basically, his mother worked in a hospice, and I will let you hear what she had to say.
Yeah, this is worth listening to. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it was episode number 6. All right, here we go.
A hallway, and I walked past the whirlpool room, and I took a step back because I thought I saw someone in there, and I flipped on the light, and it was Mabel. And I'm like, it's 2:00 in the morning. What in the hell is she doing up here? So I said, just a minute, Mabel. And so I went back to the nurse's station because we had phones that we would call each other on in the other buildings. And I called, and the nurse answered. And I said, hey, and I can't remember the nurse's name. I said, I don't know what happened, but Mabel is sitting up here waiting for her bath. I said, I just walked by, saw her in there. I said, did somebody bring her up and we forgot about her and I didn't see her? Because Mabel was really quiet. She wouldn't say anything. And she got really quiet and she goes, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, she's sitting up here. And she goes, Kelly, we did 2:00 rounds and we found Mabel dead in her bed. She's dead.
So that was one that here you have like one of our friends that we do comedy with. And he says, oh, my mom's got a ghost story. She has nothing to gain. You know, she doesn't have a podcast. She's not trying to do things like this. This isn't her world. Her world is the hospice and being a nurse. So death, in a way, is her world. And she comes on and shares this story that kind of shook all of us. And one of the things, that clip was edited for TikTok, so it was a little crude. You couldn't hear the whole story. But Mabel was also, I believe she was blind and wheelchair bound as well. So she would have had to have help to get down there to this whirlpool that she loved to get in. Yeah. And that was what struck our guest as so strange, is there's no way she could have got in there by herself.
Well, I don't know if she was blind, but I do think she didn't talk much and she was pretty far along in like her stage of dementia. Stage but of, she yeah. always loved the whirlpool and she loved going there. This is kind of like a hot bath and can help with like wound cleaning and that kind of thing. One extra person, detail that you should know.
One person on our podcast team is in the medical profession. I bet you can't figure out.
Who would that be? Well, it's Kat.
Anyways, yeah. So that story is really cool to me.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, Kat, you're in the medical field?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm an occupational therapist. It's kind of like in the same realm as speech therapy and physical therapy.
Gotcha.
So it's allied health, but I have a lot of like experience in hospitals and that kind of stuff.
Man, I guess you wouldn't deal with that side of it, like the death in the hospice world and the ER and whatnot, or do you?
Well, now that you bring it up, I worked in Chicago. I was a travel occupational therapist. So I would kind of get placed in different cities every 3 months. And at this time I was in Chicago and I was at like a long-term acute care hospital, which is patients that basically need like daily attention, acute attention for their needs, but they're there for long-term because they're not like super motivated to kind of work on things, or they're really sick, or they're really old, or they just have like these, injuries or disabilities that just, they're not going to pass away right away. And they just are there for a long time. And the hospital was probably on a lower end of the hospital chain and always busy and overstaffed and the staff overworked and that kind of stuff. I had like a running tally by the end of that 7 months of like the number of times I walked into a room and the person was dead and they forgot to tell me, which was crazy. Cause like you would enter in and it would just be this totally like, I don't know how to describe it other than just like the aura of the room just felt kind of yellow or dim. Like, it's not like I saw that, but it just felt really just, it's like, you knew before you even got in there that something was off. And these are people that I like had therapy sessions with the day before, like had them on the edge of the bed, or one guy I was like standing up with and like throwing a balloon to, but the only time I ever really experienced something crazy-ish, paranormal-ish was this one man with pretty advanced dementia. I would say he was probably only in his 50s or 60s. And he was in a wheelchair and he wasn't supposed to walk across the room. That was like when we had a chair alarm on him. He was a fall risk and he was never knew our names. People with dementia, you either have like the ones that are super friendly and want to talk all the time and a little bit goofy, or you have the kind of aggressive kind that, aren't loving life, where they are really confused. It's very sad to kind of witness that too, but he was kind of more on the goofy side. And so but just not making sense a lot of the time. And I remember one time I walked past the room and he was out of his chair and walking across the room to get to the bathroom. And I stopped in and I was like, "You are not supposed to be walking by yourself. You need to sit back down. I'll help you to the bathroom." So I helped him in and I swear he had never said a word to me. And he like turned around, looked me straight in the eye and was like, "God bless you, Catherine." And I was like, "What? How on earth do you know my name?" And then the next day he had passed away. So that was a kind of an eerie thing for me, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you guys, another thing that his mom, the head hospice nurse told me, he told me two stories, that one being the best one, but she said she noticed that, especially with people that had, let's say they didn't live the best life, not like we're talking murderers or anything like that. And I don't know why I don't know how she decided or how she found out if they lived a good life or not. But she said she would notice crows would land, like a ton of crows would land outside of the hospice. And whenever they saw this gathering of crows, somebody would pass away within roughly 24 hours.
Wow.
Now, has that ever come across? Or do you guys hear any stories like that?
I not like actual crows outside the building. I did have one man who was on like his last day. Like, we could all kind of tell he was about to pass away. And he was having, like, visual hallucinations, and it was just about crows. It was, I swear, it was like...
That's crazy.
There's crows in the glove box. He was, like, reaching for them. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always felt... this sounds so woo-woo, and I'm not a woo-woo person, but...
You are woo-woo.
You are woo-woo. But I've always felt very connected to cardinals for some reason. I feel like I see them all the time. I always felt very drawn to them, and I always felt a little bit like they... Like, when I see them, I'm going to have good luck a little bit. But the flip side of that is one day I was out jogging and there was a dead cardinal and I almost stepped on it. It was like on the sidewalk, and it like immediately in my head, I was like, something bad's going to happen. And I cannot get that out of my head. I get like premonition-y stuff sometimes. And then literally a couple hours from that, I got like some bad health news from my doctor that I wasn't expecting, like just from a generic test. I'm fine now, but I mean, at the time it was, you know, something I had to get taken care of. So I don't know. I don't think I really believe in omens, but yeah, that's the only kind of bird connection I have.
That is, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if I don't know how to feel about the crow thing. I mean, I mean, if I'm going to believe one story, I have to believe the other, I suppose. But I mean, I believe him. I don't know how to take that one. That's just so.
Yeah.
Was it a coincidence that the crows happened to show up? Did they have a crow problem, you know, that time of year? I don't know.
Well, JoJo, I know a lot of the stories we've talked about so far have been kind of interesting or lighthearted. We have, I don't know, for whatever reason, like the past 20 episodes, we've had a lot of like dark and scary episodes. Have there been episodes you've had on your podcast where people have talked about like evil spirits or evil entities or demons that they've had to deal with?
There've been several that have been scary, but, here's what I'm searching for. Here's my, I don't want to call it a dream episode, but, cause it would be somewhat morbid, but I would love to follow around an exorcist, at some point. I was talking to, in that episode that I was talking about the angel sighting with Ryan Tedder, I call that Angels and Demons, because I had a pastor on talking about how he had an encounter with, what he believed was a demon. And as I heard the story, I don't know if I'd classified as a demon as much. And he said he was witness to an exorcism, which I don't think it went as deep as what I thought it was going to go as far as in that side of it, on that side of it. But he was telling me he has a friend who is kind of climbing the ranks in the exorcism world. And the way he described it to me was they have, you know, there's a training they go through. And they have, you know, different levels of, you know, all right, this is a level two. Let's send this, you know, priest or whatnot. This is a level three. And I guess if you hit a certain level, if you're a level four, that means you get sent around the world to the most insane, intense cases. So I guess my first thing was, are exorcists, is that a thing still? And apparently, according to him, it is. I would love to follow someone around for, you know, maybe for a case or two and see some of the training and really get into that.
Well, we had an episode I can't think of the guest name. Kat, you may remember, but he was a very devout Catholic and his episode didn't have anything to do with exorcisms, but okay. I had kind of gotten the vibe that was an area he didn't necessarily want to go in. So of course I went to that. Like I immediately was like, I was like, well, how do you feel about exorcisms? And the look on his face was like, he was just like, they exist. I don't want to talk about it. And I was just like, okay. And so, I can't go into detail on this, but my writing partner and I are right now working on an exorcist script because I saw like just that moment, that quick flash of seeing the fear and the unwillingness in his face. I was like, oh, there's something to this. Like this needs to be explored and talked about more because we don't hear a lot of stories about exorcisms other than just, you know, knowing that they quote unquote exist, you know, and if we do, we always hear about, oh, well, my family found this person in this other country who did it over the phone or, you know, it's never like we had this SWAT team coming from the Catholic Church and exercised right. As a child, you know.
There's something to that. Very fascinating.
Yeah, and I think the Catholic Church is like really, really secretive about it. I mean, they do have like official exorcism priests who specialize in that, but I think they kind of keep it under like lock and key what they actually do and like who they are. And I mean, they don't want people outside of that world to get a look into
it. Right, let us in.
They don't want people making fun of them.
I've heard of people having priests come to bless their house quite a few times.
That's not definitely
an exorcism, but plants are dying in the house, and they call. I mean, wild stuff, and the priest comes over and sage. Maybe not the priest, but sage is another thing people do. Which I don't know why. I don't know why does sage work or does it work? I don't know.
I don't know. That's something we keep bringing up to our guests who say they sage. We're like, well, where did you get the information of how to do the proper sage? And it's always there. A lot of times they're like, I don't know. My TikTok followers told me how to do it. And we're like, okay. So some 13-year-old gave you strict instructions of how to sage. And I hate to segue into this because we do love Ashley, our next guest that I'm about to play the clip. We just released an episode. It may have been this past Monday or the Monday before, but Ashley is chocolate cake mix, right, Kat?
Chocolate milk mix
on TikTok. And for those of you that haven't seen her TikTok page, it's really fascinating. She claims to, what she doesn't claim, she has video of all these paranormal activities happening in her home where things are flying off shelves and cabinets are opening and all this crazy stuff. She essentially set up cameras all around her home. To me, that's all interesting, but it's hard for me to know. Not that she would ever fake anything, but just in general, it's hard to know what's real. The one that freaks me out the most is she has a video of what appears to be some kind of entity walking down the stairs. And then you see a very ghostly hand go down on a handrail. And it's just one of those things where it gives you the creeps just watching it. But the reason I brought up, you know, have you had on people talking about demons or ghosts that have harmed them? She was one of the first guests we had on that was like, I have this entity in my home and it's trying to hurt me. And so I wanted to play you a clip where she kind of goes in further into that. And I was curious to get your take on that.
Okay. I would love to hear this.
And that's the problem. Like 2 weeks ago, I was walking down the stairs, husband sitting in the living room, and just out of nowhere, I fell down on 11 stairs. Like I come on. And then yesterday, and I posted a video about this. I was laying in bed and my dog, I'm sitting there petting her and I felt something just push my right shoulder. Well, at first it was just at nighttime and, you know, that's really cliche, but then this past week or two, things have started happening in daylight. Just today, my dog was growling at something in the kitchen for no reason. He's freaked out, backing away. And next thing I know, I hear my cabinet swing open behind me. I look behind me and it's wide open. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's what you're barking. It's frequent. It's constant. I've tried to capture the footsteps that I hear up here because it sounds like a kid running or something, or someone just running up and down the stairs.
Wow. Okay. She's got some issues in that house for sure, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I need to watch that video though, for sure. Yeah.
It's so bad that she's moving. Her and her husband are moving out of it. But here's one of the interesting tidbits with her. The previous owners of the townhome that she lives in just left in the middle of their lease. They didn't tell the leasing company they were leaving. They still have mail coming to that home. They had furniture shipped to their home. They won't respond to Ashley when she reaches out to them. They just left.
Nobody can get in touch with them. Ooh.
Wow. Okay. This wasn't an experience of mine, but I should have brought this up. Because my wife thinks I'm crazy, but we lived in, before I moved to LA, we lived in King of Prussia, which is just outside Philly. And we lived in these like a high rise apartment kind of a thing. And there was a moment where we're in the apartment and the lights dimmed, but not the entire apartment, just the lights right around the TV or the couch area dimmed, came back up. And she was over there at the table, ironing something on the table, I remember. And I looked over at her, she looks at me and I'm like, okay, you saw that. I said, if there's a spirit in this house, cause I was, you know, I was into this, you know, life all the time. If there's anything in this house, dim them again. Now, granted, it could be an electrical issue. They dim and they come back up and she saw it. And it's like her and I mean, she believes, but it's like Fox Mulder and Dana Scully. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. And I, you know, we saw this. So that thing happened. And then one day, here's the thing, and this might be an electrical malfunction. I don't know. But one day about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I'm leaving to go to work. And I'm in the elevator room. Now, in the elevator room, there's doors on either side. So there's hallways, and then there's a door, you know, then, you know, doors leading to the elevator room. So the doors are always open. I've never seen these doors shut ever, 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 ever. I assume there is, you know, there's got to be an emergency, you know, door shutting mechanism for fires and whatnot, but there was no fire alarm going off, nothing. So I'm standing there about 3 PM or whatever time it was. And I'm waiting. All of a sudden, all these doors within, I'm talking a split millisecond, ba-da-da-doom, all of them just slam shut. Bam. Freaked me out, obviously. I kind of shakingly open the door. I go back to our apartment. My wife's like, "You look like you've seen a ghost." I'm like, "I think I might have." Scare me to death. I've never checked on the, because there's got to, like I said, there's got to be some sort of emergency, you know, feature. But even if there is an emergency, mechanism to shut those doors, you wouldn't want it to slam that hard, because it would knock a little old lady clean across the room. If I would have been standing there, I mean, bones broken, concussion at the very least. I mean, it slammed. Wow. So either that's an emergency feature, or a broken emergency feature, or paranormal. I don't know. But it happened in King of Prussia. This is probably 92, something like that, 93, give or take. That was fascinating. And after we moved out, or after all this stuff started happening, we moved out a little later, but I flash back to when we first rented the place, and we sublet it from a guy. And I was, you're making chit chat with the guy as you're getting, he's showing you around and whatnot. I'm like, "Why are you moving out? What's going on?" He goes, "Well, my girlfriend, she wanted to live back in the city. So she just took off already." And he didn't make a big deal of it, but she just got out and she's living in the city. And I told her I would stay here till I, sublet the place. And he gave us a great deal to get in on it. So, and I didn't think anything of it. After all that stuff happened, it hit me like, I wonder if she said, "I'm out, sell this thing, do whatever, I'm out." Now, I can't prove that, but it was interesting. Now is that a haunted experience, a paranormal experience? I don't know, but I think it's worth a conversation. I should have brought that up in the very beginning, but that was very interesting and it was frightening at the time. So I don't know, man, do places have emergency features to slam doors that hard? Or
I'm not aware of that.
I want to call and check, but I'm sure the technology's changed over that long period of time, do I really want to know? Maybe the story lives alive in my head, not knowing the truth, that's, I should have brought that up earlier.
Yeah. Well, is it more comforting to you to say, to like, think, just bad electrical engineering or like some weird electricity thing was happening, or I don't know. Do you feel like that's just, it's too much of a coincidence for that?
No, I think the reason I say that is just to, like, I don't want to play it up like I know I saw something. I want to make it known that I know there are other options that it could be. Yeah. I find it comforting knowing that there is something on the other side. It makes me feel like you said, Noah, about, if you believe in that, then all right, then there's a next level to this. Mm-hmm. But I think that's not the reason I'm saying this. The reason I said it was just like, look, I realize it might not be a raging ghost, but it's certainly interesting. I think if it were an electrical malfunction, or if that's their emergency feature, they are going to get sued because it's going to hurt someone if it ever slammed like that. And it was because of their, faulty wiring or some sort of technology gone bad. It was crazy.
Well, JoJo, we have kept you probably for longer than you had planned on being here. We certainly appreciate you coming on. Before we get you out of here, though, is there a mission statement, or if you had to sum up your podcast, in a couple of sentences for somebody who's never heard it, how would you draw them in, or how would you explain your podcast to them?
My podcast, Paranormalish. I talk to people who've had real experiences. In a nutshell, that's it. And I did title it Paranormalish so I could venture off the rails a little bit. For example, I have an episode coming up about horror movies. Which are in the field, but it's not paranormal. So paranormal is, most everything is real experiences from real people. Ghost and the UFO world. I've covered sleep paralysis as well. Mm-hmm. And I've got one on the gray man coming up, which is a phenomenon that where people see this gray man walking on the East Coast, right around the Carolinas a lot, right before a storm hits. And a guy I know, or a guy that I met, he saw this, him and his friends. So it's an interesting, I didn't really know much about him until he told me this thing. But yeah, Paranormalish on most platforms, certainly on the iHeart app, Spotify, all that fun stuff. You want to hear one more story before I go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I just don't want
to. Yeah.
And I have a request/question when you're done.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, should you want to give that to me now, or you just
Okay, well, it just popped into my head. Do you know Jenny Slate, her like stand-up show on Netflix? And she talks all about her haunted house as a child. Like all of her siblings, like literally would just wouldn't go out of their rooms at night because they just, that was when the ghost came out. And I think you would have a better chance of getting, tracking her down than we would. I am dying to hear her ghost story. So
Jenny Slate. Mm-hmm. All right, I just dropped my pen. Hold on a second.
I'm telling you, that would be a
JoJo's killer. Let me just pull out my cell phone. I'll call her right now. Okay, cool. Yeah, she's booked for next week.
A killer interview. And if you get her, tell her we sent you to her. I am dying to hear that.
Okay, I will reach out. I want to talk to your hospice story, the Mabel and the in the world. I would love to speak with them too. I would love to if they're somebody you talk to on a regular.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fascinating story.
We actually just had on her son. Well, that's Nick's mom, right? Or am I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Savannah Civil War kind of ghost story. And so when he was telling us about it, he brought up his mom and we just called her right on the spot. So both of them would probably be fun to interview.
Oh man, let me know. It's you interviewed somebody that I talked to as well, and I'm spacing on her name, Mackie. But she's a girl. Who's that again?
Mackie.
Yeah, there we go. Mackie. She, the Orange County. She is, she's got some fascinating stories.
She's pretty haunted too.
Yeah, she's a wild one.
It's really funny because we had her, Kelsey and her haunted doll and Amanda on right all around the same time. None of them knew each other. And now they're all friends and they all record and put like together and put stuff on their YouTube, TikTok, you know, Instagram all together all the time. And I'm like, look at our little family growing. Look at them go. Meanwhile, they all have millions of followers.
Yeah. Must be nice. Right. God. Yeah. Some of these TikTok influencers, they have so many followers, and not to clown, but you look at some of them like, how do you have,
I know.
What are you doing? You know, like, are you selling crack free? What are you doing?
Like, you see the amount of content that they generate out, especially on TikTok. Like, Kelsey Davies has been super gracious and kind to do a bunch of stuff with us. And she has, I think, over like maybe almost 2 million followers now on TikTok. She puts out, I mean, 5-6 videos a day and a ton with her haunted doll. And she's doing all the dances and every, I mean, it's, you know, at first I was just like, what? Because TikTok is not really my generation. So I had to kind of like reverse learn how to use TikTok to promote the podcast. And I was like, what is it? How are they getting all these followers? And then you start to actually like watch their feed and you're like, oh, this is work. This is a real grind. She's having to do this all the time, all day.
You like quit college for it.
Yeah. Yeah, to do it. Worked out for her.
It's a job, man. It really is a job for sure.
JoJo, I would feel bad if I didn't ask you this before you get out of here, because I know we have one huge UFO fan on the podcast. It is not me. It is not Kat.
I love JJ. UFOs. What are you talking about?
I am not a skeptic when it comes to UFOs. I'm like totally sold on that.
There's a lot of UFO story you could share with JJ before we get you out of here.
I'm really close with, I have an episode coming soon with a guy named Ryan Sprague, who is, he has Somewhere in the Skies podcast. That's going to be on soon. Ooh. I'm friends with a couple of UFO, Bob Kiviat, who was basically, he worked with, Geraldo years ago and Unsolved Mysteries and all that fun. And he put out, I think UFOs on the Moon on Netflix. He did that one. He is so in deep with the UFO community. But the one episode I've got that I really, on my podcast, Paranormalish, I titled it UFO in the Backyard. And it's the parents of this girl that works at a radio station down the hall. And she just came to me one day and says, JoJo, you got to talk to my parents. And they're just super nice couple. But they were dating years ago and they were in, I think, I forget whose backyard, but in the backyard. And this little sphere, this little ball, comes up in the backyard, and it's about the size of let's say a bowling ball, you know, soccer ball, something like that. And it starts, it's hovering, just sitting there hovering. And at first they were, and they weren't really paying attention. Then he looks over and like, what is that? Is that, am I really seeing this? And they both see this thing, and it floats through the backyard down the side of the house, and they're following, they start walking like, what the heck is this? Both looking at it. And it, at a certain point, you know, it looks like it's, it's like, it's, I think they said it was like a silver, almost like a metallic thing. So you don't know what direction it's facing. You just know where, what direction it's going. And then at a certain point, it just takes off at a speed that they just blew his mind. And he never knew what it was. And they were not too far from a military base. I mean, it wasn't like next door. But if that is something military, I mean, he never had seen that before or since. It wasn't any sort of, you know, drone, because drones make noise and there's got to, you know, you would hear something. It was just a ball flying through their backyard really slow. And they got a really good look at it. It wasn't like it was just this quick blur and it was gone. They stared at it for a second. And no answers on what it was, but wow. That was something that really, it shook them.
The story's fascinating. Weird.
And it is interesting that like a lot of those stories do happen near military bases. And
right.
One thing I think is really cool about UFOs is there's like, there was a really big spike in UFO sightings during the Cold War, especially in the US and Russia. And so like some historians are like, you know, maybe this is just like US and the Soviet Union testing out all these like crazy flight technologies that then like when it leaks out, they try to frame it as just some crazy UFO.
Maybe so. Have you heard of the Phoenix lights? Have you heard that story about the Phoenix lights?
No, I haven't.
There are a lot of people saw this one. It's almost like the entire city of Phoenix. This, I'm going to guess early 90s, give or take, you know, I'm probably off on that, but like a V-shaped craft at night flew over the city. And it was, you know, and at night you can't see, you know, you can't see everything on it, but you can see the lights in the shape of a V. And to the point where they were all complaining to like, they everybody's calling the police and, you know, local TV. And the mayor even had a, and they were pissed the mayor when he did this, because the mayor held a press conference and said, all right, we got down to the bottom of it. And we found the, you know, we found the alien, and they had some guy walking in a little alien mask. And they were like, dude, we're not kidding around here. This is real. So he ended up having to apologize for that. And I mean, it's not like they had footage of this thing from everybody. It was, I mean, look up Phoenix. I think I refer to it as the Phoenix lights in Phoenix. And, it's a fascinating phenomenon. Even a friend of mine had one, like a brother-in-law at the time. I don't know if there's, yeah, but I talked to this guy. I need to find him. He was one of the people, you know, one of the many that saw this phenomenon. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, video of UFOs that really can shake you.
Well, I feel like JJ gives me a hard time for me believing that I'm an empath, and I kind of give him a hard time for being so staunch that UFOs are real. So that's kind of our dynamic.
UFOs are real. I just looked up a picture of Phoenix lights. That's crazy.
Be curious what you think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I go, I want to tell you one more, but go ahead, Kat. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say UFOs just means unidentified flying object, right?
Yeah, but we're talking aliens, Kat. Get out of here.
I mean, it has to be from an alien. But, you know, but I just meant, like, Noah, you said UFOs, maybe you don't believe in them. But you do believe in unidentified flying objects, right?
Well, I mean, yes, yeah, I believe that people see things that they don't know what they are. I'm specifically talking about, like, Martians from Mars or Venusians from Venus, you know, whatever.
You don't want to see anything from Uranus. That's just the worst, you know? So you got to go there, right?
Unless I've had some wine first.
Ew!
Oh, I got to throw the planetary Uranus joke. Okay. We should do more of these. If I have any really cool podcast or really notable moments that I can really go in depth with you on, then I should, yeah, I would love to jump back on and say, oh my God, you got to hear out this story and maybe bring the other person on. If you guys can do the same thing with me.
For sure. Hey, open door policy anytime.
I think it's cool that we can kind of go back and forth and maybe
literally. Well, I just started to cut you off. I just feel like we could talk forever
about totally.
Things. I was there's, like, we didn't.
Yeah. There's one more. I got to tell you, there's one more story. This, okay. This is one of the ones that if I'm sure you have signature, you know, podcast or stories, you know, maybe, I don't know if this is the most watched on my podcast or most listened to, but it's one that stuck in my head. These three girls you know, they lived in Northridge, California, young girls at the time, like 7, 8, 9. Now, I met them when they were, you know, mid 20s. They came in, they said, you gotta hear this story. And one of them is an actress. Her name is Francia Raisa. She's on the TV show Grownish. But it wasn't, they've all had experiences, but this one encounter happened to her youngest sister. They lived at three daughters, mom and dad and grandma lived in a house together. They were super close, but, turns out, you know, grandmother was sick. I believe she had, I want to say, I'm not even a guess. She was sick and she ended up dying. The family was crushed. Obviously they didn't want to tell the daughters that grandmother had passed. So they ended up not telling them for a year that grandmother had died. Like she was dead and, you know, gone a year before they even knew she was buried. Now the excuses they gave were grandmother's in the hospital. She's staying with aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, plenty of completely believable, rational, you know, reasons why she wouldn't be there. So I guess that she probably traveled with, you know, stayed with other family members. So that made sense to the girls. They never thought twice about it. But after grandmother died, about a week after she passed, you know, right after the funeral. And once again, keep in mind, the daughters, no clue. They have no idea she's gone. About a week after she passed, they're in the house and daughters are upstairs and mom yells up, "Hey, come down for dinner. Time to eat." And the youngest daughter says, "I can't come down. I'm braiding grandmother's hair."
Oh my gosh.
Nope.
Nope. Is exactly right. And she had no idea that grandmother wasn't there. I mean, something was in her hands. She was braiding grandmother's hair. Didn't know. And mom didn't tell her that that wasn't grandma. She ran up the stairs, of course, opened the door. What the heck's going on? And she said, "Oh, you made grandma leave. Okay, let's go eat." Mom, they didn't touch it after that. They, you know, once again, they're telling me this story years later. Now, could it be chalked up to a little kid having crazy, you know, imagining things? But keep in mind that she didn't know grandma wasn't there. So that's kind of where I'm at with that one. I mean, they were very believable.
Yeah. I feel like
I don't know what to say to that.
I feel like I say this a lot in our episodes, but when the kid is involved, I'm always like, okay, I believe that.
Isn't that nuts? I mean, yeah. JJ, what do you think of that? I mean, it's, do you, yeah, you know, it's super not weird. A UFO, but.
Well, it's the vibrations in the ear.
That is my go-to, is inner ear vibrations. No, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I think kids have like really are very imaginative and can kind of have those moments. So I don't know. It's hard to like tell if it's being chalked up to a child's imagination and like years later. But I know I had a really weird thing when I was talking to my mom about this podcast when we were first starting, and I was telling her about it. And I've always assumed my mom was like me and very much like, of course ghosts aren't real. I was scared she was going to say I was stupid. And she was like, you know, like your cousin, when she died, I had a cousin who died when I was really young. And she was like after she died, you said that you talked to her. And I was like, what? I don't remember that. But I don't know. Apparently.
Where has that story been in 70 episodes?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't remember anything about it. I'm just my mom telling me this, and that I guess my mom is convinced that I had some kind of
conversation with JJ's mom on the podcast.
I think that's episode 71, right, Noah?
Yeah. She would fill a lot of podcast time without saying anything.
Well, guys, this is so fascinating. I really, I love doing this. I could talk all day. I'll stay, but tell me I love chatting about this stuff. Sign me up.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, JoJo, thank you so much for coming on. And Real Haunters, look, you guys have been so kind to us, showing us love, leaving us reviews, commenting, following us, doing all the cool things that we really appreciate. Here's what we need you to do. Go and find Paranormalish wherever you subscribe to your podcast. But I don't know about you, JoJo. I always appreciate when it's iTunes and they can leave a review, leave a rating. So go and do that. JoJo's amazing. Yeah. Like he's been in the industry. This guy's a pro. Just when he says hello, he sounds professional when he's trying to not be professional. It was a real treat to have you on here, JoJo. And Real Haunters, go show him some love. Check out his podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I burned through. I mean, it's almost embarrassing to admit. I might have listened to 15 episodes last night.
Jesus, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
They're, you know, I think, I don't know if all of them, but a lot of them are in that 30-minute range. So they're easy to listen to. The guests are super fascinating. A lot of them are celebrities, but he also has people on that will remind you of our podcast, just normal walk of day people that have had crazy paranormal experiences. So go check them out and show them some love.
Thank you very much. And yeah, my socials, JoJo Wright, JoJoWright. And my thoughts on celebrities on my podcast, Paranormalish. It's fun to have celebrities on, but I'm not going to put them on unless they have a story or something to add to it. Because there's nothing worse as a fan of this genre. If I'm watching the Travel Channel and I'm some ghost show or whatever, and hey, we're going to bring on the wrestlers, you know, Slab Daddy Jim. I'm just making, I don't even, it's annoying to me that you're just bringing them on. And granted, I know you want the push from the celebs and their fan bases and whatnot, but it's just annoying to bring somebody on into this genre when they have nothing to add to it.
Right.
So if somebody comes on, I'm not saying I'll never break that rule, or I hope I don't, but I want them to add something to that. Because I do have there's a celebrity side that I do all the music stuff with the I Heart Countdown and blah, blah, blah. But this is for the paranormal. And so I'm not going to bring somebody on if they don't have a story, you know? So
yeah.
That's that, you know? Yeah. Okay. You want to hear another story or should I let you go?
I feel bad. Let's get you out of here. I don't want to keep you any longer. And that way maybe we can ensure that we get you back on to share more stories. How's that?
Next time I'll tell you about the Stanley Hotel.
Awesome. Right. I actually just listened to that episode and that,
oh yeah,
that was an awesome episode for sure.
And that wasn't, that's crazy.
And if you happen to get in touch with Jenny Slate, I'm just saying, I bet it would rock and send Jenny her Slate. Our way.
Yeah. I'm gonna track her down. I'm gonna call up a girl named Amy. She does a lot of booking, and I'll say, hey, do you know a girl named Jenny Slate?
Yeah, because
she's got
she's in a lot of
that CA pigeon. Just let it fly out the window and see.
Yeah, there you go. We're gonna track this girl down. You know.
I mean, what else do people have to do?
Right, yeah, exactly. Come on our ghost podcast. Let's go.
Let's get this. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JoJo. Have a good rest of the night.
You too. Appreciate it, guys. Bye.
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 Oh, my gosh, guys. So that was JoJo Wright. How crazy was that?
That was super cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. He had so many stories. And it's just fun to hear other people that are just so excited about these stories, too.
It's kind of cool to like talk shop a little bit too, because I feel like so many people we interview are like, you know, our guests who have ghost stories. Rare do we get to interview another podcast host, and even rarer do we get to interview a podcast host who has interviewed so many celebrities and been, you know, in the industry for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was super generous of him to, you know, come on our podcast. Cause you know, I mean, he's definitely like a different status of podcast host. Mm-hmm. So really nice of him to come on, and cool that we get to kind of promote each other.
I'm like, I know I've talked about Jenny Slate so many times, but I want her on. I remember back when her stand-up special came out, I like Instagram messaged her.
Yeah, she, it was funny because I remember you sending that to me. And I don't know why I've always connected with whenever I see her in film, or I don't know if it's like her kind of laid back approach to her characters, or like in Parks and Rec, she was so funny. Like anything she's in is so great. So yeah, it'd be awesome to hear her ghost stories. Well, JJ, you're obviously a skeptic, as we all are, but you're the skeptic. Now on that episode, something came out that we've never talked about before, and then maybe we can dive in a little bit more in a standalone episode. But can you tell us just a little bit more about the conversation you had with your mom, where apparently you talked to a ghost?
There wasn't that much to it. I guess I talked to my dead cousin, like shortly after she had died. But I don't remember any of this. And, you know, my mom seemed kind of convinced that I had, but you know, it could have just been my imagination.
Well, Real Haunters, Kat had a wonderful idea. So we're going to see if we can make this happen for you. We might do an all moms episode of the Real Hauntings podcast and see what kind of ghost dirt we can find on our childhood selves through our moms and see what kind of ghost experiences they've had.
Woo woo.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that was a super fun recording. Jojo, thank you again so much for coming on. And I can't wait to do more stuff with him. Definitely go check out his podcast. One of my favorite episodes was something he teased, was the one on the Stanley Hotel, which I obviously knew about from The Shining, but that episode really goes in great detail about the hotel and kind of the history of The Shining. And there are some really, really spooky things that you learn in that episode.
I feel so full, like, of ghost content, and I love it. Like, my brain is just really happy.
Yeah, I think they call that cloud nine in the ghost world. That's kind of what it feels like right now. Well, with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.
Ooh.